have your Bible today, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we will reference a couple other areas, but that's going to be our main basis for the sermon today, is Matthew chapter 7. As you're turning there, Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start right off in verse 7, just after the beginning. And I know when Jeff Johnson came, he talked about the genealogy of Jesus. And he mentioned those phrases, and I thought the poor women he mentioned in the Bible just took a beating on that day. But I didn't write the Bible. That's just how it happened, okay? But he talked about those things, and he said the three things they point out are faith, and then humility, which leads to repentance, and obedience through those things. So faith, humility, or repentance, and obedience. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it starts out and says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Sounds like the golden rule. Well, that's where it kind of came from. So he says, ask. Ask first. That is, when you ask for something, that's a step of faith. I'm going to ask, and it will be given. Our faith will allow us to accept that. Seek. That takes humility a lot of times to seek. And in that song we sang today, "The more I seek you, the more I find you." I think sometimes we may not pursue seeking him because of that very reason. Because we may find him. And we may get to know him more. We talked in Bible study just a passing comment the other day about be careful what you pray for. You might get it. Uh-oh. Lord, allow me to be a servant to be used any way you want me to. Africa, what? We've talked about that. Be careful what you pray for. And so sometimes I think we shy away. We distance ourselves because we're scared to death that God may respond or we may find him in what we're looking for. And then knocking. To him who knocks, it will be open. When we knock, that's obedience. Now, we have to be very careful what we ask for. Matthew 6:33, we talked a few weeks back about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, I'm going to seek great riches. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So, be careful what you're seeking for also. And then knock. We have to be careful what we knock for. In James 5:9 it says, "Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Might want to be careful if we're knocking on that door. Because the judge may open it. And that's talking about, you know, when we'll come face to face with the judge. Now hold that spot. We're going to come back to there. But turn over, if you would, to John chapter 10. But hold that spot, because again, we're coming right back to it. John chapter 10, verse 7. And it says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture." So be careful again what door we're knocking on. Well, opportunity knocked on my door. Well, did you knock back? I don't know. I am the door. If anyone enters, not if anyone enters, but if anyone enters by me, this is Jesus speaking. If anyone enters by Jesus, he will be saved and he will go in and out and find pasture. This door leads to life, spiritual life, and this door leads to food, spiritual food. So we have to be careful when we read that. Well, it says, "Ask and it will be given to me." Yeah, it does. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Let's get clarification on that. Matthew chapter 7, right below that in verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Kish and I talked about that a few weeks ago. That renewing of the mind daily, that picking up our cross and carrying our cross, those are things that we have to consciously do daily. We have to crucify the flesh. If we didn't have these battles daily, Jesus wouldn't say, renew your mind daily. Because there's things that we face day in and day out. They're there daily. And we have to make a conscious decision to battle those things. There are few who find it. Let's keep reading. Verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, or good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will be known." When we seek and knock and ask and do those things, we have to be sure we're doing those with the right heart, with a pure heart, with good motives. Again, not selfish motives. That's why when we talked about New Year's resolutions, hey, let's add a little spiritual twist to it. Well, if I drop it, then it's not as easy to drop my resolution I didn't quite make. But it also makes it less selfish when we add a spiritual value to our New Year's resolutions. I want to become more fit, not just to look great, no. We want to become more fit to take care of God's temple. Those type of things. I want to make more money just to be rich and spend it all the way I want. No, I want to make more money so that I can give and do more. And I can help others who are in need. Those type of little twists and tweaking to our daily life just adds spiritual value to it. And it connects us with Jesus Christ. The more I seek you, the more I find you. And it says, the more I find you, the more I love you. I'm afraid to fall in love with Jesus. He may ask me to do things that are really outside my comfort zone. But, verse 21, we've got to be careful here. Let's read verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." But he who does the will of my Father. You see, when you ask the Father's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not thy kingdom come, my will be done. We have to seek what Jesus wants for us. What he desires for our lives. The way he wants us to take care of our spouse. Our children, our parents, our families, our friends, our church body. Our co-workers, God has a desire for all of those things for us to handle in a way that glorifies Him. "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?" Uh-oh, be careful. "Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?" You see, there's a little bit more to it than just that. "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." It's not enough to prophesy in his name. There's a whole other side of being Christ's ambassador and being a Christ follower than just prophesying in his name. I was talking to somebody the other day and casting out demons. And a lot of these people pursue fame, I guess. It was the same back then. A lot of people were preaching and they wanted fame. They wanted to be great and mighty religious people. So I was reading, actually the last couple weeks, I was reading, just studying pastors, big and small, mega church pastors, and all those things that have fallen due to sin. Small churches fallen due to sin. I thought, I am no more protected from sin than any of them or any of you. Jeff Johnson said, we've got to repent. And that includes the leaders of the church also. You see, we can't get too full of ourselves. And I'll tell you, I'm a sinner. I was going to tell a story that I sit up late at night, sometimes way too late at night, on the computer, and I spend hours on it. And I thought, oh, let me just bait them. Uh-oh, pastor's into pornography. No, I'm into YouTube watching crashes of motorcycles and cars and planes and stuff. I don't know why. But I thought, the first, for an instant, I know people thought, oh, he's into pornography. But the fact that I watch YouTube videos of crashes, you know, wiped out, fails, and all those things, I don't know. I just enjoy watching people wipe out their vehicles, I guess. And that's a weakness that I have. My sons will tell you. My wife will tell you. Lordy, I try and suck them. Come here, look at this. Spencer knows better. He says, no, 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 I'm not. I said, you got to see this one. One leads into five and he knows better. Austin won't even come in the room anymore. But on a serious side, I'm no more protected from sin than anyone else. I am a shepherd of the sheep. And I'm no more protected from the enemy than anybody else. And I thought, man, God, I just repent. And I try and check myself. And yeah, I write a little checklist. Once a week, check yourself, Adam. What do you need to repent of? I was kind of short with this person. Uh-oh, the guy at Chick-fil-A. I was rather short with him in front of my son. Yeah, I was rude to this guy in the checkout, in the drive-thru on this night. I just wanted to tell him I'm sorry. He did fine. I was just short with him. But I thought, I've got to do that to keep myself on track. That's a whole lot of humility to call Chick-fil-A and say, I just wanted to apologize to the guy that I don't know who he is in the drive-thru because I was short with him. I wasn't mean. I was just short. It was on the edge of being mean. See how we try and protect ourselves and say, it wasn't that bad. But it was bad enough that I said, check yourself, Adam. And repent of that. We have prophesied in your name. We have cast out demons in your name. But Jesus still says, I never knew you. Depart from me. Man, what a wake-up call that's going to be to some of us. Lord, Lord! And he says, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Get away from my doorstep. Prophesying and praying, it takes more than that. It takes more than that to do these things. He'll know us by our fruit. It's not enough to prophesy. Let's flip in our Bibles, if you would, to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. And we read some of this a few weeks ago as we were talking about he makes all things new. And we talked about being an overcomer. And overcoming is just a powerful thing. And, you know, that's why I read this morning's call to worship out of Isaiah. Healing for the backslider. And it talks about, take away the stumbling block out of the way of my people. But the Lord says, I have seen his ways and I will heal him still. And I'm not in Revelation yet. I'm just reading what I already read this morning. I will also lead him. I feel you leading me, we just sang. Sweep me away. I feel you leading me, but I don't want to follow. That's disobedience. It says, I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. And he says, peace, peace to him who is far off. That's not just peace, but man, that's as much peace as he can give. Great peace I give to him who is far off. And he says, and I will heal him. Now in Revelation 3, we're going to be in verse 14. Some of you may have subheadings and think, oh, he's talking about the lukewarm church. It says, and to the angels of the church in Laodicea, these things says the Amen. That is the true one. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. In verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. And he's talking about the church. He says, you're not cold. Cold is cool, good, and refreshing. Hot is used for medicinal values. So those are good. You are not cold or hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, or in his eyes, good for nothing, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Well, praise God, there's our Creator speaking. He wants to vomit them out of his mouth. Could you imagine being that church and those people that he's speaking to? And you are such that the Lord wants to vomit you out of his mouth. Verse 17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Did you catch that? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's pretty powerful right there. The lukewarm church, neither hot nor cold, made Christ want to vomit the believers of that church out of his mouth. He makes it obvious that he rejects those people that are trying to live a self-satisfying, a self-gratifying life, and doing such in the church. And that's what he's talking about, the church and its believers. So we want to be sure that we're not being self-satisfying, self-gratifying believers in Christ. Amen? Because it just said, well, I'm in there. They think they're in there. I've got riches. They didn't need anything. They had riches. They were spiritually poor. We don't need any clothes or anything, but they were spiritually naked. We can see everything. No. You are spiritually blind, he's telling them. You come to me. You come to me. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Having communion with Christ by simply being obedient. And I thought, here again, here we have the faith and the humility and the obedience all tied together if we're not the lukewarm church. Now, the cold church, they're just not doing anything. But the lukewarm is just dabbling in it, saying, I'm here. But Jesus said, I need more than you being here. I don't care how much you have, because you're spiritually poor. He desires for us to grow spiritually. Oh, I've got great clothes. I have fine clothes. No, man, spiritually you are naked. But I can see everything. I'm healthy. I'm well. No, spiritually you are ill. You are blind. We talked the last couple weeks. We had Michaela come up and talk about Jesus Christ in her life. And some of our young people have talked about, I've never really confessed Jesus Christ. That's great, but for the older people, we talked in Bible study about our salvation story and different things. Most of you know my father was a pastor, and we talked about baptism. I was baptized as an infant by my father. He said, who were the first people you told? Was it family? Was it friends? I thought, I didn't tell my family. Why? My dad was a pastor, and I was afraid I would offend him when I got baptized. When I accepted Jesus, when I called on Jesus to come into my life, and I said, I wrote on the coattails of my dad's preaching robe. I thought, I'm getting into heaven on his ticket, in his name. Dr. Reverend John R. Dilley and son Adam, come in. I thought that's how, I'm telling you, I thought that's how I was going to heaven. No, am I thankful someone revealed the truth to me. And I did not tell my dad when I was baptized. And when I accepted Christ, I was afraid I would offend him. Sorry, Dad, I know you know now. I didn't have the opportunity to tell. But man, life is so different. Then there came the backsliding years. Those of you that have been here quite a while know right under here were stairs that went all the way down. And I'll never forget that invitation by Pastor Jack to repent of your sins and accept Christ. I'd accepted Christ, but I had a lot of sins I didn't repent of. And I said, it is time. And I've told this story before. I looked at my wife, said, you ready? She said, yes. And I got up and went and looked back, and there she sat. I guess she was ready for me to go up. And I thought she was coming with me. Young people, I'm trying to identify young people. All you old people, young people, you be very careful when God calls you. If your friends aren't going with you, He may say, this is your journey to go alone. And you go it alone. And He will be there for you. And He will be beside you when your friends are not. The old movie Stripes, they got busted. Those guys that did this step forward, they looked at each other. One guy went like that, and the other guy just went and stood there. Sometimes that's going to be your friends. They're going to imply, yeah, let's go. There they went, and they stayed there. And I came to these steps, and I asked God to forgive me of my sins. And they were many, and they were great, and they were horrible in my eyes and in His eyes, I'm sure. And we sang Amazing Grace. I'll never forget it. And I turned around and I was sobbing and weeping. But I was 10 feet tall. There were little clouds under my feet, and I was just walking back. Not a prideful man, a forgiven man. And a different man and a changed man. And I thought, man, I carried that junk for years. trying to hide it from God, actually. He knew. I knew he knew. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. In church, I want us to be very careful when we're out prophesying and healing and praying and doing those things. When we're at church and we're just serving, are we doing all the other things? Are we seeking Him? Are we growing in our spiritual knowledge? The Bible talks about that also. You shouldn't be eating this snack pack of Bible stuff. You got to be eating this big giant steak of Bible knowledge and truth. You've been here long enough. Give that snack pack back to the younger folks. And by younger, I'm talking about spiritually newborns, spiritual newborns. They were poor spiritually, they were blind spiritually, and they were naked spiritually. And God said, we're not going to have this. Because when I see that, I want to vomit you out of my mouth. And I don't want us to be in that group. I don't want to be in that group, and I don't want us to be in that group. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on the throne, on my throne. And I also, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. This takes faith. It takes humility, which leads to repentance. And it takes obedience to do this. And I don't want us to be left behind when the Father comes for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your words today, Lord. We thank you for your direction. Lord, we know that for those you love, your word says you rebuke and you chasten them. Lord, like a father disciplines his children that he loves dearly, you do that with us. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy that you give to us. Lord, today I pray that you reveal yourself to us, Lord, where we may need to repent, where our faith is weak, where we may be seeking you in the wrong places, in the wrong way, in the wrong manner, where we may be asking for things in the wrong way, in the wrong manner. When we ask for things that are outside of your will, when we seek our personal desires above yours, Lord, correct us. Change us. Change our heart. Lord, today, create a new beginning for us. Create in me a clean heart, your word says, and renew a right spirit within me. God, today, create a clean heart in all of us. Renew a right spirit in all of us, no matter where we are, Lord. Draw us to you. And today, maybe Jesus Christ is knocking. He's standing at the door knocking. It may be your opportunity to respond today. Would you do that at this time? Would you just raise your hand if you need some prayer, if you need a change? Let us know so that we can pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for those that are raising their hand right now, Lord, we lift them up. We lift them up to you. Lord, we ask that you make them strong, that you give them boldness to press on. Lord, as a church, that we can be here for one another and lift them up. And Lord, today maybe you're calling. Maybe you're calling someone to give their life to Christ. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? What a life change that could be. Would you raise your hand if today he's calling you to give your life? Thank you. All right. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to lift us up this week. Lord, as we go out into the world that you've created, Lord, allow us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Lord, direct our actions and our words towards one another, Lord, that we may glorify your name, that we can reflect the light of Jesus Christ in our actions, in our words, in the way we speak to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.